This is Ozarks at Large. The Arkansas legislature continues to meet in Little Rock. Hundreds of bills were introduced just before the deadline. Two bills that have been passed into law have been vetoed by Governor Mike Beebe. Both of those have been overridden by the legislature. This past week, Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talked with two legislators about what those vetoes mean. He sat down with Ann Clemmer, a Republican from Benton, and Reginald Murdoch, a Democrat from Marianna.
I kind of want to go into some psychology of what goes into a veto override to begin with before we kind of dive into some of the subject matter of the week. Do you count noses? Do you know what the vote's going to be before it goes? How does this roll around? What's going on behind the scenes?
Well, let me say I can answer that pretty easily. We felt like we had our caucus 100% in favor of this. So for us, it was like, is everybody going to be here? Is anybody going to be sick? Is anybody not going to be here? So we had to certainly count the 51 members that we have. And, of course, we were hoping for a few D's to come over.
Right, because
and we did
it passed by a large majority when it came through the first time, but the override, you saw quite a few votes peel off. Why was that, Representative Murdoch?
Well, I think that politics was in order. I mean, you know, I think that after the first vote, I think the governor, who obviously vetoed it, he was working the numbers as well, just like they were on their side. He was working them on his side, and he got with some of the legislators that had voted in favor and, you know, asked them to support him on his veto.
Was this a great victory for Republicans in terms of national image? Was this a big setback for Arkansas in terms of national image? What's your viewpoints on this?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, if you go by the reports that you get, and I think depends on where you're at on this, you're getting reports that says that it's embarrassing, that it's kind of shameful what happened. And if you look at the New York Post, I think it's New York Times, maybe, that put out a piece that talked about that, you know, what happened in Arkansas was shameful, that we're going to be in litigation and that it's going to be overturned and that, you know, that we're wasting taxpayer dollars. That's their view on it, as well as many others that think that we probably went down a road that's not very, was not very legally correct anyway.
And I'd suggest you probably have a different viewpoint.
Very much so. I mean, we felt like it was a great victory. I mean, I think This issue, more than any other, shows the real cultural divide in this country between a lot of the southern states and maybe the rest of the country. But this is something, I mean, it's completely different response you get. But I mean, when I'm in Saline County, I mean, it's people are hugging me, coming up to me, crying, thanking me for running this bill. It is different, but we are not like the rest of the world, and I think this bill makes a statement. The poll that Talk Business did said we had 60% of Arkansans behind this bill.
Right, 33% opposed to it. Those numbers were very striking. I think that might speak more largely to just where you stand in the pro-life, pro-choice debate. Maybe not. I think if we polled
We
did poll the 12-week question, but I think we would have gotten a similar response on just about anyone, just my gut instinct
probably.
That. So, well, let's talk about the legal ramifications here. Obviously, the ACLU has already said that they're considering a legal challenge to this. Other groups have made waves as well. What's the legal argument, Representative Clemmer, for defending this bill as being either constitutional or obeying previous legal precedent?
Well, I think the argument is that Arkansas law, and I haven't heard very much about this, but that we declared that a person in utero existed at 12 weeks in utero, 1999 Arkansas statute in the Unborn Victims Act. And we are saying we have declared this 12-week-old fetus a person, this baby is a person, and should be protected.
What do you think about the legal challenge?
Well, and I think that's the very question, and that's the question is at hand. And certainly, I'm not an attorney, but what we're told is the constitutionality, the legal part of it, is that it violates that. You know, that these particular laws, this one and the other one that was passed, will violate the Constitution, and it's an unconstitutional act that's been passed by our legislature. And it's not that Democrats or other people are not pro-life. I mean, you know, I don't think because you believe in choice that you're not pro-life. I think that's a myth. You know, I've got a lot of emails talking about you know, if you don't vote for this, then you don't love God, you're not a Christian, you're not a good person. That's not the case. I don't, you know, take it that way. I think part of our duty, if I was not a legislator, possibly, if I thought that, if I felt a certain way, if I was not a legislator, that I have to protect the state fiscally and otherwise, then on an issue such as a social issue, then you can make a different choice. But I think as a legislator, we had a different choice that we had to make, and because of the law and what we were told about the law and the possible unconstitutionality of this, that we needed to be very careful in making a decision. And I think we're stewards in our current position. We're stewards as well.
The other bill that you referenced that became law too with the governor's override, a veto override, was the 20-week bill, the pain capable abortion bill. Just this past week, about 2 days ago, the federal judge in Ohio struck down that state's law.
Wasn't that Idaho?
It was in Idaho, yes. But he is a federal judge, and he struck down that law saying that it didn't meet the viability standard that has previously been set. Do you see this being the legal path to challenge?
Well, I mean, we've had other cases. We have another case in Arizona that's been upheld at the 20-week mark. So now we have a conflicting federal ruling, which I think means that somebody's got to settle which federal circuit court was correct, the one ruling on the case in Arizona or the law in Arizona and the one ruling on the law in Idaho.
But is it not part of the strategy? I mean, I would argue that it's fine for this to work its way up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Let's revisit Roe v. Wade 40 years later. Is that part of the
mission? It may be. And I mean, I would argue that, you know, we're basing, Roe v. Wade was written in 1973, before there was an active use of ultrasounds. I mean, before we had advertised pregnancy exams, pregnancy tests at home that you could tell in 48 hours whether or not you're pregnant or not. I think at some point we're going to say there's a responsibility issue here too.
Roby Brock from our content partner Talk Business Arkansas talked with two legislators, Ann Clemmer, a Republican from Benton, and Reginald Murdoch, a Democrat from Marianna, about the recent vetoes of the overriding of Governor Beebe's recent vetoes.
Support for TalkBusiness.net on Ozarks at Large is provided by Mitchell Williams Law, providing strategic counsel on a variety of sophisticated legal matters since 1954. Mitchell Williams Law Firm combines decades of diverse professional experience to clients across the U.S. Today, the firm employs nearly 80 attorneys from 4 offices in Arkansas, Texas, and New York. Online at MitchellWilliamsLaw.com. And Bank of the Ozarks, committed to helping business owners succeed by combining the tools and services businesses need with accessible experience and knowledge. More information at bankozarks.com. And the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas. Diversity is the key to reliability and affordability. From the state's largest industrial user to a home at the end of a long country road, the Electric Cooperatives of Arkansas serve members with a stable supply of electricity backed up with fuel diversity. More at AECC.com.
And if you'd like to hear more from the conversation Roby had with the legislators, you can go to talkbusiness.net.
On the next Fresh Air, Mohsen Hamid talks about his new novel, How to Get Filthy Rich in Rising Asia. The answer for his main character is by passing off boiled tap water as expensive bottled mineral water in a city which closely resembles Lahore, Pakistan, where Mohsen Hamid lives. His previous novel, The Reluctant Fundamentalist, has been made into a movie. Join us.
Fresh Air tonight at 6 on KUAF.